Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Putting on Our Clothes. Here's Sylvia Cash with our scripture reading.
The book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul around AD 60-61, while Paul was in prison in Rome. Ephesus was located in what is now present-day Turkey and was a little over 800 miles from Rome. The scripture today is from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and is entitled, The Whole Armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may boldly declare as I must speak the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
'Tis the season of back to school. Here in Wake County and across the country, as students of all ages once again pack those backpacks with pencils and paper, calculators, tablets, Chromebooks, water bottles, and a myriad of other items deemed necessary by their teachers and administrators. This year, though, things are a little bit different, seeing as a good portion of our students did not darken the doors of a physical campus last year. In fact, many didn't even leave their bedrooms to darken the doors of their kitchens to enjoy a nice, healthy breakfast before logging into their first Google Meet or Zoom call or whatever virtual form of a classroom they attended last year. This year, back to school carries a whole different weight. I saw on the news this week that Target stores boasted that their sales had exceeded expectations and projections for this season. That despite all the Delta variant havoc spreading across the nation, people were out and about. People were doing their shopping. Back to school shopping is alive and well, at least at Target. This, of course, stands in stark contrast to last year's back-to-school season, in which at least one Target store, and I would assume many Target stores were in the same boat, had such a great surplus of these items, backpacks, composition, notebooks, scissors, pencils, paper, etc., 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 that they donated pallets full of unclaimed back-to-school products to churches and other nonprofits in hopes that if they could not be sold from the shelves, they could at least be given to students who could put them to use. This season is not without its own stressors, however. This year, students worry about how they're going to be received back into their social groups after so many months apart. They worry about choosing the right classes to set them up for the right majors in the right colleges to get them on the right career paths. They are anxious about managing the load of extracurricular activities with academics after so many months of so few competing demands. They worry about the vaccine, the variant, and the very conspicuous reality of being a young person in such a strange and unpredictable world. In many ways, these worries, these stressors seem to be so different from those which characterized my back-to-school days. What I remember most is the pressure to have all the right things, all the right stuff on that first day of school. Y'all may remember my story about calling up my best friend the night before seventh grade started just to make sure that she too was going to wear her JNCO jeans on the first day of school, those wide leg skater jeans that had made their way into fashion over the summer. I wanted to be sure I wasn't the only one showing up on trend on the first day of school. But there were other years when the stuff that I had and the clothes that I wore were my biggest worries and going back to school. This is a very different year. The things that I remember were when those boxy backpacks came out with zippers on both sides, like portable lockers you could just strap on your back and wear to school. Or when Billabong jackets were the only thing appropriate for people to wear to keep warm from the eastern North Carolina winters. When Adidas Sambas were the only shoes that the cool kids would wear on their feet. I see some of you still wear them now. Maybe they've made their way back into fashion. Or when shark watches were the only appropriate thing to be wearing on your wrist, even though nobody cared what time it was. These were the worries that I carried with me as I prepared for back to school. And most of them tended to circle around the theme of the clothes I was going to put on. Looking back, though, of course, with the benefit of hindsight and an amateur understanding of adolescent psychology, I see now and can infer that the stress about what I would put on, the clothes that I would wear, wasn't really about clothing at all. All that stress and worry was about belonging. My very first memory of today's scripture reading from Ephesians happened at youth camp. And every time I read it, my mind goes straight back to that camp in the large classroom where our Bible study group met each day. For some reason, they'd taken out all of the furniture, even though it was still painfully obvious that it was a classroom. But we made our way to the perimeter of the room. We all sat down on the floor and put our backs against the walls each day as a college student would teach us something about the Bible. On this particular day, we were told to break up into small groups. We were to designate one person to be the model while everybody else was tasked with reading the text and making spiritual clothing out of those long, big rolls of paper that teachers would use to cover up bulletin boards and make them look a little more inviting. So we all got to work, cutting out our paper belts, our paper breastplates and shields and helmets, and of course, swords, with decorative lettering, spelling out the words from the scripture, truth and righteousness and faith and salvation and spirit, all across the garments of war. The exercise did exactly what it was meant to do. It seared an image of myself and my friends as soldiers in the army of God. And in my mind, that memory will last forever. I will never read this piece of scripture without going straight back to that classroom and remembering what it felt like to draw out a sword and write something like spirit on it, and then to dress my friend up in it and proudly process her out in front of the crowd of peers, a warrior in God's army. And even though the exercise did exactly what it was supposed to do, the irony of that paper wardrobe should not be lost. The irony of that paper wardrobe, especially as it pertains to this specific text, should not be lost today. It should not go without mention. This section is near the end of the book, the letter to the Ephesians, when the author Paul is giving his final word of advice and encouragement for what it means to live a faithful life. And using the ready metaphor of war, no doubt because the average person in that day and age was familiar with seeing the Roman imperial guards dressed for battle, Paul subverts the idea that strength can only be exhibited through violence. But what many of us fail to notice, certainly what I failed to notice and file away as a young camper eager to draw and cut out paper clothes, is that tucked away in the middle of these verses, which appeal to our ideas about power, is a little sentence that turns everything inside out. As for your feet, Paul writes, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Who said anything about peace? We're putting on our clothes for battle, are we not? We're talking about belts and shields and helmets and swords. We're going to fight the powers of evil, and we're going to win. And we know that our enemies have come ready to play rough. We know they're bringing out the big guns, and so you know what? We will too. We didn't start it, but we're going to end it. That may seem like a little bit of an exaggeration, but that is what all of us in that camp classroom were thinking as we cut out swords and shields and labeled them faith and truth and righteousness. We were ready for battle. And history shows that all of us, not only teenagers in a camp classroom, are somewhat prone to ready ourselves for battle, even before we read this text and ready ourselves for peace. You know, even as teenagers, when we were invited to interpret the text for ourselves and refashion the clothing of the gospel, we were never told to cut out a belt, a shield, a helmet, and a sword. But each and every one of us did just that. Why couldn't we imagine something different? Perhaps that desire to belong was and is stronger than we realized. For our children and our youth, today, there can be so much pressure to fit in. And it comes from all sorts of directions. Pressure to wear the right clothes, look the right way, perform well on the right sports team or in the right classroom. There can be pressure to be in the right place at the right time with the right people. And as much as we would like to imagine that those stressors and pressures only relate to our youth and children, the reality is, they don't go away in adulthood. They just morph, and they change into different things like having the right job, making enough money, driving the right kind of car, seeing the world in the right kind of way, identifying with the right political party, or taking on the right social ideology. Perhaps the truth is that rather than going away, the pressure to conform and belong only continues to grow. Perhaps these are the clothes that we are putting on as we prepare ourselves for whatever battles, whatever challenges our days might bring. Maybe we're putting on clothes like absolute certainty and pride, self-centeredness or personal comfort above that of our neighbors. Maybe we're putting on defensiveness and arrogance or ambition or ego. These certainly do help us to cover up the more vulnerable realities about ourselves, like insecurity and fear and uncertainty. But the scripture reminds us that we don't need to dress ourselves for battle, so to speak. Rather, we need to put on the clothes of faith that help us proclaim a gospel of peace, not war. The calling, you see, is not to pick up the sword and simply rename it spirit, not to pick up a shield and rename it faith as we walk into battle with our defenses up, ready to fight. No, we are to discard the clothes of Rome altogether. We are to set aside the clothes of war, the clothes of every human kingdom, and to replace them with the clothes of Christ, which take on a whole different shape altogether. We are to put our defenses down, so to speak, to discard them completely, and to walk into our world vulnerably, ready to listen, ready to feed, ready to heal, ready to welcome, and ready to love. Now, of course, this will require us to choose different clothes. But what better time than right now? What better opportunity than this one? As students head back to school, as some of us are heading back to work, some of us are heading back home from having been back to work. Some of us are just heading into a Sunday afternoon or another Monday. We don't know what it's going to hold, but what better time than this? To make a conscious decision about the clothing that we are choosing to put on. What if we begin this year, this season, this week, by laying aside the clothing that we have grown so comfortable, so protected in? And what if we, instead of putting on those clothes that protect us from our fears and our uncertainty and our insecurity and our vulnerability, what if we instead put those aside and choose to put on the clothing of humility and compassion? Clothing of curiosity and kindness, clothing of friendship and solidarity, clothing of grace, clothing of patience, clothing of love. What kind of year would this one be if we chose to put on a different kind of clothes? Who knows, right? It's hard to imagine. Like teenagers sitting in a room not given a very strict directive, our minds automatically generate what we think we ought to bring with us. It's hard to imagine the kind of world we might co-create with God if we were willing to put on God's own clothes. But the time is now to make that very important choice. It's time to put on our clothes. What are you going to put on? Amen.